Hey everyone, Matt Waldron here from Level Next Leadership. Thanks for tuning in to On The Pulse. This podcast is the overflow of my own life and looks at practical strategies, insights, models, and tactics to help you lead yourself well and live purpose congruent. My hope is you can get access to some personal breakthroughs, build that great life of yours, and be a gift to the world. Thanks for your time today. Hey everyone, welcome to On The Pulse and thanks for being here today. Today we're going to be talking about your approach to life. And I think the place I wanted to start here with this podcast, I've got about 8 points that I want to talk about when it comes to your approach to life. Things that I've found helpful for me. Like anything, it's not an exhaustive list. It's just some helpful thoughts for you in terms of putting some meaning on the life that you have. And so I want to start really quickly just to talk about meaning and beliefs, because we have this amazing power in our hands, grasp in our hands, which is a bit of a mystery, but we have the opportunity and we have the potential to put a meaning on every situation we are in, every relationship we have, every conversation we have. I mean, even right now, for goodness sake, from the intro to the little bit that you've heard of me so far, you're already beginning to form a meaning about what this podcast might be for you. And what happens is, once we form that meaning, it begins to go through our very complicated brain process where we find evidence to support the forming meaning that we're beginning to put on things, and we delete, generalize, and distort information. This way our brain, it does this automatically to be really efficient so that we can get to a belief quick enough. And by the end of this podcast, you will have formed a belief about some of the things that have happened. Now, the problem with that is this, is that if that's just a subconscious process, then we have a problem, okay? But if you bring that into the conscious realm where you begin to right now say to yourself, I'm going to be present here, Matt, and I'm going to be conscious about the meaning I begin to put on these things, then what happens is you become a much more well-informed, much more rounded person, and you can actually have a lot more influence and power into your world. You can show up so much better when you are very self-aware around how beliefs begin to form in your life. And it comes from the powerhouse of meaning. We always put a meaning on something, whether subconscious or conscious. I can't emphasize it enough. And in one of my power practice YouTube clips that I'm going to be doing today, I will show you a model of how of meanings and beliefs, and actually how it is that we arrive at certain beliefs. And when we reinforce that over and over again, those beliefs become the foundation for telling ourselves all sorts of garbage stories about our life that are unhelpful. So I just wanted to start with that before we talk about your approach to life, is that you're going to put a meaning on this stuff, which is cool, but maybe do it from a place of being very deliberate. How you approach this life will make all the difference to the outcomes that you get. We all have mindsets and beliefs that can lock us out of developing our potential, enjoying life, seeing things in a way that is helpful. You will have to be willing to say to yourself and be prepared to let go of things, to lay things down, to give up on certain ways of thinking and doing things. You know? Now, this is not easy. It's not easy changing our beliefs. It's not easy sometimes to reframe the meaning that we're putting on certain things that have happened to us, because we just stamp our foot and believe that it's the truth. And we say that all the time. And so for me, the truth sets you free. For me, when I stumble across an insight, a revelation, a paradigm, a prototype that is truthful, I find it comes with love. It comes with great peace. It comes with freedom. And it just comes with that wonderful aha moment where you go, this is what I've needed to know. No matter what anyone says, lasting change and improvement is only for winners. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. You know, really in life, I'm talking about being a winner yourself. I'm talking about winning in your own life. I'm not talking about comparing yourself and all that. I'm talking about Are you winning in your life? Are you winning in your relationships? Are you winning or are you losing? You know, because it can come down to being that simple. So I want to talk to you about 8 different approaches that I think about in life. And now this is not an exhaustive list, as I said before, but I think it could be something that might help you. Just think about the way you approach your life and the meaning you're putting on certain things right now. Number 1, your life is a gift. You have gifts so you can be a gift in the world. Your freedom and success has a ripple effect to helping others. And I believe it's our God-given responsibility to prosper and succeed and grow so that others can be inspired and live an amazing life as well. You know, you've got people depending upon you. You've got maybe children, you've got your colleagues, you've got others. And so if you're not realizing that your life is a gift, that you actually have certain gifts that you need to develop and need to resource and need to build in your life, you need to identify them. What are they? If you're listening to me right now and you don't know what your gifts are, your talents, your strengths, if you don't know, then I would stop and say to you, this is the first thing that you need to think about. You need to understand your life is a gift. You have gifts and you can be a gift in your world, whether that be the family, business, you know, maybe more of a national scale, international scale. I don't know where you show up. There is nothing quite like seeing a person living something that lights us up and helps us improve. If we live well, we can give well. Let go of the false humility. It's time to show up and play a bigger game. Your life is a gift. You have gifts, so you can be a gift. Okay, number 2 is to live at cause. And all of these approaches, if you can imagine, they all move in on each other and they all sort of support and help each other. So living at cause, your life has a cause to live and die for every single day. Whoa, Matt, that's pretty intense. That's pretty full on. But you know, if you look at really successful people out there, they have a cause beating inside of them. They are not just going through the motions. They are not just trying to build a house. They're not just trying to, you know, their vision of their life is bigger. They have a purpose. They've discovered what their purpose is and they've embedded that purpose, that individual purpose that they have, into a bigger cause. So you must find what really gets you fired up and moving, what makes you cry, laugh, sacrifice, invest, persevere, what makes you angry, what gives you the strength to endure through garbage, what makes you smile, what makes you laugh. Your cause is one of those life treasures which is priceless in value. That means it will be locked away deep inside you in a safe place where you are ready, when you are ready to show up. You see, it's so precious, it's not easy to find, like oil. Oil, it right now in our world, is liquid gold and we still use a lot of it. But you know, to find oil, you have to search, you have to look, you have to drill, you have to do a lot of work to access that pressurized liquid gold. Our cause is a bit like that. Once you find it, you realize it has this amazing pressure and energy and flow to itself. So I can't emphasize enough that as you approach your life, ladies and gentlemen, please take the time to find your cause. See, that means you're living each day from an amazing place of purpose and of energy. It requires a certain level of maturity and worthiness on our part to handle the cause. You see, a cause grabs us first, and then with courage and usually with lots of fear and unworthiness, we grab it back. You know, your cause could be environmental, your cause could be helping domestic violence victims, your cause could be legal, your cause could be some sort of business helping third world countries. I don't know what it is, but ladies and gentlemen, you got to find it, please. My cause is to resource influencers to be a gift to the world. My whole passion in life for the last 20 plus years has been in this space of resourcing people who want to take a stand and say, I'm an influencer. I'm taking responsibility for my life. I want to show up. And I just love working with those people, supporting them, mentoring them, training them, helping them, coaching them, developing them in such a way that they can win and achieve the things that they want to achieve. I have a couple of other personal causes too. I really hate child trafficking. And so I support an organization called Destiny Rescue, which not just rescues young people from terrible situations. But then what I love about it, you see, because my cores are blending together, then what they do is then they actually rehabilitate, they counsel, and then they retrain these young people so they can go out and have a job as a hairdresser or as a business owner or whatever. And so they're not just rescuing them, they're restoring them and empowering them, helping them to reclaim their life. Now, that is a cause that I love. You see, as I mentioned, the cause grabs you first, and then with courage and fear, we grab it back. If you've not been grabbed or moved by something bigger than the idea of building a house or having a nice new car or maybe improving in your career, you have missed it. The search to live at cause will train us to be ready to play our part in the bigger picture of this world. Your purpose is the part you play in the bigger cause in partnership with others. So find your cause and live at cause. So number three approach to life is we need to understand that life is about building and fighting together. You need to understand there are times to build and there are times to fight in life for things that really matter, and being able to discern the difference between the two is really important. You see, some people I've met out there, they're just always fighting. They've got the sword drawn, and they're always aggressive, and they're just always like that. You know the people I'm talking about. And then you've got these people who are just about building, and when the fight comes to the table for something that really matters, they go back to building. They think with their building plans, and they come across quite passive. And I look at them and go, this is the time to draw your sword and fight. So I've realized this about life. In approaching my life is that discerning when the time is to draw your sword and fight for something that really matters. Other times, it is about going back to the drawing board and looking at the plan. So in one hand, we have a sword. And in the other hand, we have our building plans because it's about building and fighting. And we have to discern which one it is in that given moment. Sometimes we need to take new territory, new ground. After we've taken that new ground, we need to build ourselves into that new ground and occupy that new space. There are always two major phases to growth. Number one is taking that new ground. And number two is then occupying and establishing ourselves and building ourselves into that new ground. So this is one of my approaches to life, ladies and gentlemen. When things happen to me, I'll often sit back and ask myself the question, am I meant to fight here for this? Or am I meant to build? Am I meant to build a relationship here with this person? Or am I meant to fight for the cause that I really believe in and not worry about whether that person is in my life or not? See, some people, you need to be able to discern the difference between those two realms when you're approaching life. Number four is run your own race. If you have a heartbeat and consider yourself alive, then you are a life competitor. You're in this life. We need to stop comparing ourselves to other people because this shows up in people pleasing and living outside of our purpose. Let me give you an athletic analogy here. You've got a high jumper over here who's got a certain body height, certain way of looking, and they can jump really high, but get them on a sprinter's track and they don't go so well and don't look very glamorous, if you know what I mean. A big lanky person trying to run under 10 seconds is... So comparing ourselves to other people, it can be a really brutal game that we play with ourselves and really pulls our self-esteem down, because when we compare ourselves to someone else who's 10 or 15 years ahead of us with their success and their prosperity, we can get really down and out. And I used to do this a lot, but I've realized with the comparing yourself game, it's just a losing game, because number one, if I compare myself to someone else, well, I might win, but then they lose. Okay, because I'm better than them, right? Or we both come to a place where we realize, oh, we're both on the same page, or I lose and they win. But the foundation of comparing ourselves to other people is really built upon external performance. It's got nothing to do with, it doesn't include your life history. So you and I, we have our past and we have all sorts of things, dynamics going on. And so it's very, very important that when you approach your life, you decide that you're going to run your own race. You must decide to back yourself when no one else will. You have to live for an audience of one. Your opinion of you is all that matters. If you're a spiritual person like me, then maybe your opinion the opinion of yourself might, God might be in that as well. For me, my AO one, my audience of one, has a double meaning. What God thinks and what I think is all that matters. So getting a revelation that your life matters and that when you invest and grow and build yourself, then you can actually help and inspire other people to get breakthroughs as well by running your own race. I don't know if you've ever seen someone, you know, going for the things that they really, really believe in and really matters for them and inspires us. And that's what it should be. You are competing against yourself, you know, not others. It's about self-improvement and self-progression. Beginning to develop a mindset that you're like an athlete, and when it comes to living your life, your lifestyle should look like you are committed to something important. And running your race with clarity, you have to have a focus. You have to have real clarity about the things that you want to succeed in. Vagueness is the hallmark of the unsuccessful person. So get really clear about what you're about, what race you're running, and align your lifestyle to those things. Number five is don't be up for sale. We must understand that we decide in any given moment what we are going to sell out for. Do not buy into the lie that you do not have choice. You see, choice is the powerhouse we have to not sell out. We always have a choice. And where you are right now is a collection of what you've decided to believe and commit to. Now, that can be real ouch right now. And that's why I always talk about, you know, putting in curiosity and grace and being kind to yourself, because doing any of this truth work can be really challenging at times. So just understand that the collection of the things that you've chosen over the last few years is kind of where you've arrived, which means you can also choose your way out of it as well. We always have decisions to make around what we desire. So getting really clear about what do you really want and why do you want it? Getting really clear about what do you believe? You know, what do you actually believe about your approach to life? Get some clarity around that. And what are you going to commit to? In other words, what are you going to endure? What are you going to let go? What are you going to persevere with? What are you prepared to do to go after the things that you want? Some people are sold very cheaply with money, vagary, distractions, medication, and unhelpful causes. Others are not for sale because they are committed to a bigger cause. Choose a life that is great and something that you can be proud of when you look in the mirror every single day. Number six, I really love this one. The systems serve the life. You can change the systems in your life because you're the one who put them in there in the first place. And you put those systems in place because there was certain life going on for you, you know, certain seasons of life, maybe a business, whatever, and you begin to put systems in place. But what can tend to happen is suddenly, like I see in workplaces, I see it everywhere, is the system now becomes the master and we're trying to push it in. We've all experienced this in a workplace where there's a system in the workplace that does not work, and yet they keep forcing the life of the workers into and through that very clunky system. And so the life is serving the system rather than the system serving the life. You see, in ancient times, they would only put new wine into new wineskins. The fermentation process would expand the container so much that it would actually explode if it was not able to adapt, pivot, and innovate. So the systems in our life should be adaptable. They should be able to pivot. They should be able to innovate. Put new inspiration into an old model will cause it to explode. The model serves the life in you. So many people scratch their heads and wonder where these things fit into their life. Well, they don't. You have to change the system to allow for the new growth and new things to take place. I had an example of this the other day where I presented an empowerment program to a church leader. And throughout the conversation, it really began to bug me because one of the things he kept saying, Matt, this is great. I can see this would be really awesome. But he said, I don't know where it fits in my current church model. And I let it go through the keeper a few times, but then he ended up saying, and then I ended up just sort of getting frustrated with it. And I drew a picture and I said, this is what you're saying. So this is your mindset. I said, you have a closed systems mindset. I said, here is a new idea. Here's a new opportunity to grow. And I said to him, do you want this place to grow? Do you want people to be helped and improved and all that? And he goes, yes, I do. I said, well, what I'm presenting to you will not fit. And I drew a circle on the page. I said, that's what you're saying. You're saying the question, you're saying the response back to me, it doesn't fit, Matt, it doesn't fit. And I say, well, it doesn't fit. And I drew another circle outside of that circle to expand it. And I said, this is what you want to do. You want to grow things. I said, this is where this idea fits. It fits here. Now, this can be translated to our own lives a lot. You got to understand that if something new and fresh comes in that brings life to you and you think, yeah, then of course you've got to change the system to serve the life. Number 7, pull out into deeper waters. One of my favorite sayings of all time is a ship is safest in the harbor, but it was not made for the harbor. And we all know this about ships, is that a ship actually deteriorates if it stays too long in the harbor. It's exactly like a plane. A plane actually deteriorates on the ground, but flourishes in the air because it's designed for the air, as a ship is designed for the open waters and for exploring and for whatever purpose that ship is designed for. Now, it really only ever comes back to the harbor to replenish, to repair, etc., etc., but it's designed to be on an adventure, on a journey. That's a lot like our lives. There's 4 zones you've got to consider. You've got to consider the comfort zone, the fear zone, the learning zone, and the growth zone. Now, the comfort zone is where we feel familiar and safe and safe and sound in control. Well, that's the harbor. What a beautiful place to be. Then suddenly, we've got a vision to go out and do something different. Suddenly, we go into the fear zone, where we start being affected by people's opinions. We're super reactive. We find excuses. We lack confidence. And then as you push through the fear zone, you begin to enter the learning zone. You know, bringing resources, acquiring new skills, letting go of your ego, expanding comfort, embracing making mistakes, dealing with challenges, putting mentors in your life, etc. And then as we move through the learning zone, we move into the growth zone, where we can embrace uncertainty. We have new goals. We're taking ground. We're living our lives of value and living purpose congruent. And we're growing as a person and we're expanding. So this is my approach to life. Some people's approach to life is to stay in the comfort zone and do everything they can to live in that comfort zone. Some people live in the fear zone and then go back to the comfort zone. Some people, you know, so this seeing this really clear process of pulling out into deeper waters, having an approach in your life to say, you know, I'm going to make my life count. I'm going to pull out into deeper waters. I'm not going to play the status quo game. I'm not going to play the safe game. I'm going to have a red hot crack at this one opportunity that I have called life. Remember, the first one was your life is a gift. You have gifts and you can be a gift. And the thing is, if you're not in the learning and growth zone more often than you are in the comfort zone, then you're really not being very helpful to other people in your life. So from the comfort zone, through the fear zone, through the learning zone, through the growth zone, that's how we can pull out into deeper waters. Number 8 is leading yourself well is your adult responsibility. Now, this is one of my key approaches to life, ladies and gentlemen. You must be prepared to get rid of the game playing, excuses, outsourcing, low quality conversations and connections. All of us have unlimited potential, but it's up to us to invest so that you have something to offer the world. You need to take responsibility for your life and how you show up in the world. This is what the adults do. We understand that this is an adult work and it is lived from the inside out. We must live it as we give it. We choose to live a life of integrity with purpose congruence. We choose what influences us and we choose what we influence. We are improving our ability to be conscious, deliberate, and intentional each day with the words and actions that we demonstrate. We are proud to be someone who can bring positive change and resourcefulness into a world that desperately needs empowerment. We have traded in the childish game playing cards with all of its benefits. We have stopped playing the blame, the obfuscation, the victim, the labeling, and the hiding game. Instead, we've decided to go on the adventure to become responsible, clear, empowered, enjoyable, fun, joyful, self-aware people, and to show up at our best when it really matters in that moment. You know, there are 3 common symptoms of unwellness that can creep into our experience. There's hopelessness, there's helplessness, and there's hurtfulness. And I'm wondering if you can just imagine in your mind right now that there's 4 columns. The first column is titled symptom. The second column is called cause. The third column is called remedy. The fourth column is called results. So symptoms, here we go. Helplessness, what's the cause? The illusion of no choice. The remedy, get an approach to life where you understand you have 100% choice. The result of that approach to life and that decision, it unlocks hope for you. Symptom number two, helplessness. What's the cause? We're playing the blame game, the disempowerment game, victimhood, hiding, sickness, obfuscation, passive aggressive, anger, overwhelm, not my fault, poor me, excuses, denial. All those things running away cause helplessness. Then the remedy is take 100% responsibility. What do you get from that? What's the result? It unlocks power. So now you got hope, you got power. The last symptom there is hurtfulness. You know, and that hurtfulness comes from the cause of neediness, needing external success points, needing people's approval, needing to get significance from our reference points externally all the time, which sets up us up with something called others' esteem, where we outsource our self-esteem to others, to results, to all those sorts of things. Now that is hurtful to us. What's the remedy? Take 100% internal resourcefulness. Get external attachment free. In other words, begin to let go of other people's opinions. Begin to let go of all those things that want to get inside you, and understand that you need to live from the inside out and then manage the outside in. A lot of people are trying to manage the outside in without first living inside out. Now, what this releases, what's the result of this? You've got the symptom, the cause, the remedy. This results in humor, in enjoyment in life. So now you've got hope, power, and humor. So you can see that our approach to life is so important. And I hope that those eight things that we've talked about here today, one of them has stood out to you to say, Matt, you know, I need to work on that. And I'd love to have a conversation with you. I always offer a free 1-hour consulting coaching session. You might as well take advantage of it and just get that breakthrough that you really want. Take good care, everyone. All the best to you and your family and the endeavors that you're a part of. Thanks for being here today. If you would like to get in touch and find out a bit more about me and what I do, please visit levelnextleadership.com. Until next time, I'm cheering you on.